What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. We're so grateful you guys keep showing up. We're going to keep bringing it with more and more good stuff. Well, it's Friday, and our job is to keep you at the top of your clinical edge on Fridays. And today, I want you to think better about your schedule and how you do your procedures is one of the greatest assets to creating a better practice and a better life. And today, I'm going to give you the secret on how to do that. We did a presentation recently with Miranda Beeson, who's our director of education and an amazing coach here, called Scheduling Smarter, Not Harder. And it was so good, I thought we would share the audio on the podcast. So here it is. Please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy it. And we'll see you soon.
Are you ready, Kirk?
I'm always ready. And I'm even more ready now knowing that you're leading the charge here. So I'm excited.
We got it all sorted out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're talking about scheduling today, which is actually one of my favorite things. When I was a hygienist, I always pre-scheduled my own patients. I wanted to make sure I had control of my days and what they might look like 3, 4, and 6 months from now. When I was an administrative team member and an office manager, office administrator, I would check through the schedule on a daily basis, looking ahead to look for bottlenecks and kinks and make sure that that block scheduling was really set up for success. So it's one of my favorite things because I think it has such a tremendous impact on the day-to-day, honestly, productivity, yes, but also just happiness of our team and what ends up happening with the chaos that can ensue within the practice. So when we're talking about scheduling, we always like to start with why. And this is really important because a strategic schedule is crucial for the success of any practice. And the main points that you're going to want to build into your strategic scheduling is looking at first production goals, and knowing that every day we're meeting those daily production goals by way of how we have our blocks and templates set up, and then also just reducing stress, optimizing efficiency, and preventing burnout. There's nothing worse than getting to the end of a day, running a little bit behind all day, feeling exhausted. Maybe you worked through lunch or part of lunch. You still have all your notes to do, and then you run your production report, and it is not as significant as the work it feels like you did. And that ebb and flow and the peaks and valleys that happen day over day, week over week. And so those are the things that we're really looking to solve when we talk about scheduling, is how can we have more consistent productivity and reduce that stress and burnout and exhaustion that we can sometimes feel throughout the day.
Okay, so as you're talking, it's provoking some triggers for me. So I just want to add some things. What Miranda's saying is exactly right. And just I'll add one more layer of why on here. We have a great coach. Her name is Jamie. And Jamie reminds us that busyness is a focus issue. It's a focus problem. So anyone that says, I'm busy. What are you busy with? Because when you're too busy and you use that word a lot, it's really, you're putting energy everywhere. And you just can't. And so this is really important as we go through this. Once you get the schedule right, like Miranda said, it's one of the biggest keys to making sure that you have a better practice and better life. And also, I'll just use the word trigger again. Every one of us has triggers. One of my biggest triggers, and maybe it is for you, is when I'm overscheduled or I have to be two places at one time. Nothing makes me crazier than that. That I can't even attempt to be a really good person when I have to be in two places at one time. So knowing that, and then one more thing I'll just layer on, as you get older or you age, you don't have this window of energy anymore. you actually have to use it better as you mature in age. So it's not like you just set it and forget it. You got to think about your schedule every year. Like, how do I want to see this? And Miranda's going to guide us through this, but getting this right is a huge part of your happiness.
Kirk, it's funny that you mentioned that because we were just talking, we were just in Napa for our To the Top Study Club Master Summit, which was amazing. And we talked about DISC on the second day that we were there. And when you just mentioned the way that it can make you feel when you're under the pressure of a day that really isn't designed well, that added stress. And so each of us has a primary communication style, and under stress, the worst of it shows up. And so for me, I'm a high D personality style, a direct driver. When I'm under a high level of stress or pressure, I become a little insensitive to others and very impatient. That's just my natural drive. I get a little irritable and impatient. Somebody who is a high I style, a very people person, we have a lot of those in our dental practice, they're going to become a bit more disorganized. So some of those like weaknesses or limitations of that general style show up under pressure. So we might start forgetting things, or maybe leaving things out of the room or off of a tray setup. And now we're having to get up in the middle. And now we're running even more behind, right? If we're an S style, we might become a little possessive of our harmony and almost retreat a little bit. And the same thing with our C's. Our C's are so structured and analytical that when chaos ensues or we lose a bit of that structure of our day, we really don't actually know how to move forward. It almost halts us. And so when we get into those stress pressure situations, when the schedule isn't designed ideally, or it just gets out of hand and we feel overwhelmed, we aren't our best selves. We aren't our best selves to each other, and we aren't our best selves to our patients. And so that's a big piece of why this is so important. Because yeah, we want to make production goals every day, bottom line, as easily as possible, but we also want to show up our best for our patients and for each other. And so this is a great, easy way to just strategize, how can we do that? So when we have block scheduling, or we're scheduling with intention, we're looking at how can we have that consistency and efficiency with production, avoiding last minute scrambles to hit targets where it's like, oh, we got to make sure we scan that occlusal card because we're almost there. No, if we planned our day in advance, we're not having to reach for those goals quite as hard. And it helps with predictability. We know when we show up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're not stressed the night before because we know what our schedule is designed to do. It's not like, hey, wonder what Monday is going to look like. Are we going to just be full of emergencies? Will I have holes in the schedule? No, we have a plan for that. And so that predictability can really feel comforting and create security for you and your team. And also it's going to minimize downtime. When we plan every minute of the day with intention, we're going to have less fluctuation and open time. Of course, cancellations and things happen. We got to work around policies for that too. But from the jump, the intention can be that every minute is maximized and we're taking the best care of each other and our patients that we possibly can. So the bottom line is you can create a balanced and productive environment within your practice that supports both practice growth and personal well-being to where everyone feels better about their day. So we're going to walk you through how to do that. So we have a revised resource. So I shouldn't say new because we have had this framework for a really long time, but we revised it. We made it a bit more prescriptive so that if you're in the BPA or doing this on your own, or again, with the group, you can follow this step-by-step-by-step, this ideal day scheduling guide. It's like a tongue twister. So we're going to talk a little bit about what is an ideal day. And then there's actually 10 steps to this, and there's no way we're getting through all of them. So we'll highlight for you how to at least get started. But most importantly, we just want to talk about, you know, what is an ideal day. And again, number one is it's scheduled to goal. And while production isn't necessarily the biggest benefit you will feel from having an ideal day schedule, it's probably the number one benefit that you will get. The feeling is going to come from that predictability and that lack of burnout and the ease in which everyone can flow through the day. But to have that consistent production day over day over day, because we've designed the schedule to align with those goals, is really key number one. And then we want to look at making sure that the schedule really facilitates the schedule that you want. One of the things that's so beautiful about being a practice owner and an entrepreneur and owning your own practice is the freedom to design the schedule that works for you. And we talk about our purpose, better practice, better life. How can you design a schedule that allows you to live a better life so that you're not at the office until 7 p.m. if you don't want to be, and who would want to be, right? And then lastly, we're looking at making sure that our patients can all be accommodated. So those are the main steps we're going to work through, and we'll jump to that in a minute. But again, production goals are met. Patients' needs are prioritized. We have the availability when people need it for what they need. It's predictable. The stress is reduced. Team efficiency and predictability increases. Ultimately, the patient experience is better. No one wants a patient waiting in the reception area for 10, 15, 20 minutes past their appointment time. And if you've ever been on the admin team, and maybe some people are watching today, you can chat, raise your hand, thumbs up in the chat if you've been there. You're at the front office and we're running about 10 minutes behind. And Mrs. Finelli, your favorite patient, Kirk, starts staring at you because everybody that walks through the door and calls somebody else's name back, she doesn't understand that her provider just isn't ready yet. Why is everybody going before me? I got here first. Now Miss Finelli's shooting daggers at me behind the desk. Eventually she's going to come up and say something to me if I didn't have the courage to say something first about us running behind. It doesn't feel good. And so we're creating these experiences for our patients, sometimes unintentionally, but we can help to create that predictability. When I was in private practice, if somebody sat in the reception area for more than 5 minutes, it was an anomaly. It was like a well-oiled machine because we had the day planned. Occasionally, you know, an emergency happens, but we don't want Miss Finelli waiting. We love her too much.
Yes, we do.
All right. So when we look at this guide, again, I mentioned there's 10 steps. The really cool thing is it walks you through one by one by one, really prescriptive, helps you get all the way down to the very end where everything's said and done and you're just reviewing and revising this on a regular basis. And it starts with the first three, which is what we're going to talk about today. Defining your daily production goal, because you have to know what you're trying to do with your schedule from a production standpoint. Determining what you want as the provider, your schedule to be, and then analyzing patient needs. Once you go beyond those first three steps, those are the ones we're digging into today, you're going to perform a schedule analysis. We establish the ideal procedure blocks. We prioritize high value procedures within the schedule to make sure we're getting the production that we need every day. We use color-coded blocks and then design that ideal day so that it flows exactly as we want to and we're hitting the mark on all of these pieces. Lastly, you're going to establish some scheduling agreements with your team, the things that you agree that you're going to live by within this schedule. And, you know, maybe it's we never schedule emergencies past 2 p.m. You get to decide what those agreements and rules are. And then you're just step number 10, reviewing and revising all of this on a consistent basis, because sometimes you do have to tweak it. So if you're brand new to block scheduling or ideal day scheduling, your first iteration probably isn't going to hit the mark. You might be hitting production, but you're realizing we don't have enough delivery appointments. Or you might not be hitting production, but your new patient flow is going really well. And so you do have to review and revise and tweak things a little bit as you go. All right. Are you ready to get started? Any thoughts before we jump into step one?
I have so many thoughts, but I want to keep us on task today with what the content. I will add this, as a dentist or as a leader, you do need like a co-pilot or someone who... I mean, ideally to have the entire team bought in on how we control time. But if you don't have that to start with, you do need someone who is the protector of your time. I like to think of it as, hey, let's start with an admin team member who's amazing. And he or she has to think like this. I am protecting the doctor's schedule with my life for the next 7 days. Nothing gets in here unless I approve it. And it goes where I want it to go, type of a thing. So I know that sounds a little far-fetched, but when you have that, it changes your life.
Well, and funny thing is, again, my admin team members on the webinar today will probably high-five me in the chat box. A lot of times we're protecting the doctor from themselves.
Right.
The doctor is a lot of times the one that starts to break our blocks or our scheduling agreements out of the kindness of their heart, wanting to make sure, you know, Miss Finelli gets that done today. And so we sometimes have to even protect the doctor from their own selves. So, all right, let's jump into step number one, which is our daily production goals. So first and foremost, you have to define your daily production goals. The foundation of an ideal day schedule is based fully around knowing what you need and want to produce every single day. Without a structured plan to achieve those targets, you're kind of just throwing a number out there, but how do we even know we're going to get there? And so we have a formula, an equation that's going to help you to see what do I need to be producing every single day? And then how much of that needs to live in my hygiene department and how much of that should live on the restorative schedule? So you're going to start by reviewing the year ahead and determining the number of days that the practice is going to be open for patient care. Now, it's important to factor in vacations, holidays. If you're going to be taking continuing education and being out of the office, perhaps you're going to close quarterly, one day a quarter, to have your quarterly planning meetings with your team. So you're going to go through and you're going to look at the whole year and you're going to say, so a lot of times this happens in the fall around our strategic planning. So we're preparing for a year in advance. What's the total number of days that my practice is going to be open and available doing dentistry in the coming year? Now, a lot of times people will ask us, how specific do I need to be? What if I'm out, but my hygienists are working? What if I have hygienists, you know, A and B out for a week, but hygienist C is there? Do I need to change this day over day? You can get really granular with this. You can also just stay really high level, especially if you're just getting started, and just say working days. And then we just average it out throughout the year. So if we're talking about just working days, we have somebody or people in the office working, let's say 192 days in the upcoming year. And our goal is to produce 1 million. So all we have to do is take that annual production goal, divide it by the number of days we plan to be working. And then we know what our production per day goal is for the office, which in this example would be $5,208. Now, it's important to note, what if you get sick? Heaven forbid, you're the sole dentist in the practice and you're sick and you're out. Maybe you work in a state where there's no general supervision. So if you're out, your hygienists are out. So if that's the case, and now we know it's actually 5 days less than what we predicted because I ended up out for 5 days, we can adjust that. So if we get midway through the year and we're like, ooh, we're a little off track, so we just throw a little on there. So it's a nice, simple, easy, Baradoy says fourth grade math equation, where you just take your goal and you look at the number of days working and you decide how much does the office need to produce each day to get there. And then you're going to break that down into what does the doctor's schedule need to be set up ideally for, and what does the hygiene schedule need to be set up for? And that's typically broken up between 70 and 30% of that daily goal. So for example, in this office, hypothetical situation where it's $5,208, you're going to have 70% of that coming from the doctor's schedule, which is a little over 3,600. And you'd have 30% of that coming from hygiene, a little over 1,500. And so every day we know if we're going to be designing a block schedule or an ideal day schedule, you need to put procedures and service mix into each day that in my doctor's schedule helps me to get to $3,645. And in my hygiene schedule helps me to get to $1,562. And if we can do that every day, we should be able to hit that daily goal and hit 1 million at the end of the year. You with me, Kirk?
Still here. Love it.
I'm used to you giving way more input.
Well, this is the brain stuff, which is really important. Now, one more thing, just with the annual production thing, this is exactly the formula you are going to use. And this isn't the webinar or the course for this, but if you're heavily involved in PPOs, I mean, a lot of this is non-collectible production. So if you're stuck in the middle of that, you know, one of the things to consider is like, is this formula working for me long term? And what's the vision behind where I want to go in the coming years? Because I will tell you, it becomes much more of a simple formula when there's less PPOs involved in this.
Yeah. And if maybe you can speak to this too, before we move on, just because I know how passionate you are about the metric of days worked. But maybe just give us a little bit of thought, give everyone watching a little thought on the importance of that metric to you. It's a metric that not everybody measures, but to you, you feel like success is often not measured in gross production, but perhaps more so in your day's work.
Oh, you're going to just open up a can of worms here because I love this. I think time is the new rich. I just feel like that is absolutely the key. When you talk to somebody and they know exactly how many days a year they work, that's somebody who's really smart about business. Now, this number's climbing. According to the ADA health policy, the average general dentist in the United States works 220 days a year, and I think that is crazy. Prior to COVID, we never saw numbers like that. And now it's not unusual for us to find dentists in different parts of the country, and it's sad that are working 245 days a year, and they're just chasing this production number. There's a certain point where you become counterproductive to yourself. And so our best docs, you know, they are all below 200, you know, getting down to 180, 175, 172, and looking at their schedule. Now you've got control of your time because you don't get it back. And if you're 55 like me, every day counts. You can't waste 1 hour. You can't waste one evening. You can't waste any time. So I'll stop right there, but you've got to know how many days you work and then lessen those and improve your profitability and your effectiveness year over year.
Well, and that's the really cool thing about this is if you know you want to work less, all you have to do is turn up the dial on your production per day and like figure out a way to produce more. So I like this graph because this speaks to the peaks and valleys that happen in a lot of practices. And this is a week over week indication from Dental Intelligence, who we work with our coaching clients. And you can see January, that last week in January, we were only at $20,000 in production, but the very following week, 40,000. And then the very following week, 26. And then the week after that, 32. And it's up and it's down and it's up and it's down. There's no consistency or predictability to what's coming out of our schedule week over week. When you start to implement ideal day scheduling, you can see in this example, this practice prior to in the up and the down and the ebb and the flow, they were averaging 36,875 a week, but it was coming and going. And we probably had some big cases and then a whole bunch of deliveries the following week. And it was just all over the place. And you can imagine it's a little bit of a roller coaster. And each day within each of those weeks that fluctuated so much, what did that feel like to the team and to the patients? And then you implement ideal day scheduling and you start to have this consistency and predictability. We're still hitting those same goals. Right? We're still at 36, 37, almost 38,000 each week, which is what we were averaging before, but we're doing it in a more consistent and predictable way so that we feel better at work. We're providing a more consistent and predictable experience, not only for each other, but also for our patients. And in the end, we're hitting our goals and we're doing it consistently over time. So I really like to be able to see, you can almost see where the dial got turned on and when that ideal day scheduling really kicked in.
Love it.
All right. So we talked about production being what we have to look at first, because we have to know what we're trying to get out of our day. But just as important at step number two is determining what you want. The beauty, as I said, of owning your own practice, of being an entrepreneur, the freedom, you know, you and I love to talk about how exceptional this profession is and that you are an entrepreneur. And what's so beautiful about that is that you have the flexibility to create a schedule that aligns with your preferences. You can design your hours. You can design your days. If you only want to work 3 days a week, great. Only work 3 days a week. You want to work 7 to 3, do that. If you want to be there every morning to get your kids off on the bus, great. Start your day at 9. You can build your schedule to be whatever you want it to be. That's the freedom of owning your own practice. I see your hand, Kirk. Go for it.
I was waiting for you to call me. You know, just to piggyback on that, this is actually, I like to start in nonlinear sequences. Like step two would be my first place to start, but follow Miranda's lead. Hey, you guys, this is America. Or if you're in Canada, it doesn't matter where you're listening to this. This is the coolest part. No one governs your time. You get to decide. When you're a business owner, you can go, nope, I'm working Monday through Thursday. And you have to reduce or eliminate these self-limiting beliefs, thinking, well, patients are only going to come in the evenings. No, they're not. They will come in the hours. If you create enough value, people will come in the hours that you work. You teach people how to treat you. You teach them when to come in. You teach them how to behave. You teach them when you work. And it is so powerful when people fit into your schedule instead of you trying to fit into other people's schedules. The second you try to fit into other people's schedules by saying something like this, what time works for you, you have instantly devalued what you do. And I can totally blow you off as a dental provider because I don't schedule a flight and go, no, 2 o'clock doesn't work for me. Can you move that flight back to 3:30? Cause that would work. No.
Well, when was the last time you canceled a medical appointment or they call and leave a message saying we had to move your appointment and now it's on this day at this time. And you're just kind of like, okay,
my wife, Sarah, is going to kill me for even mentioning this. Even nail salons have figured this out. There's one nail salon by us. If you cancel more than once, they kick you out. And people are like, oh my gosh, you don't tell them when you're going to come. They build a valuable service and a schedule that works. And then they tell you as the customer when to come in. I'll stop there.
No, I think it's so important to talk about, and your team appreciates this too. I was a hygienist working on a team where we had 7 to 3 hours, which was great, except for one day a week, right in the middle of the week on Wednesday, it was 11 to 7. That morning was awesome because I did get to take my time, get my kids on the bus, but I was there until 7:30 because patients don't leave. You know, they leave at 7, you have notes to do, you have to clean your room, you have to set up. And then we were right back there at 6:45 the next morning for that 7 o'clock start. And I used to joke that I just wanted to create like a Murphy bed in the wall. Like, why am I even going home? Because I'm driving home for 30 minutes, literally going to bed, waking up and coming right back. And so eventually the team had this conversation enough that we talked about it and the owners talked about it. And we said, well, maybe we could just do every day 7 to 3. Like, why not? And it was really just down to those two patients every week that came in at, you know, 5 and 6. And we were just so concerned about what those two patients each week would say or feel. And what we realized when we made the change was not nearly as many people made a stink as we expected. When we offered 7 a.m. as an alternative for them to come before work instead of after work, most were like, no problem. And the ones that were a little crabby about it, I would just tell them, I completely understand your frustration, but I'm so grateful for you making this accommodation because I haven't put my kids to bed on a Wednesday in 3 years.
Yeah.
And nobody is going to make you feel bad about that.
Right. One more thing. I'll just throw this in there. I love you guys if you're listening. So this is coming from a place of love, but I think evening hours are dumb. I just think they are. Don't hate me for that. We have so many people, I mean, thousands of dentists in the ACT Dental community go, I got rid of my evening hours and man, our production went up. You're scheduling in the evening because you think that's when people need to come in. That is absolutely not true. You're catering to a patient base that is thinks you're cheap and easy to get to, of which they will leave you in 1 second for somebody who's cheaper and easier to get to. And you spend your life serving these people and giving up the things that matter, like children at home or life, to serve people that don't care. And it just becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy. You create more and more and more of it. People will come in the hours. And I love the photo thing. Like, I learned this from a dentist a long time ago. If you have a hard time talking to patients about hours, put a beautiful photo of whatever matters to you, whether it be dogs, whether it be kids, whatever, and say, unfortunately, we don't have evening hours. And just say, that's the reason why. And point to that picture and everyone will get it. If they don't get it, I really wonder if that's somebody I want to exhaust my life with in the evening that doesn't understand it because they clearly don't fit the same values. So
I'm glad you mentioned dogs because I don't want to discredit all the dog parents out there. Dogs are children too. And yeah, you can easily say, I haven't walked my dog on a Wednesday night in 3 years. My dog has been in a crate since 7 a.m. People will resonate with that. I feel 100%. Like, Kirk, we could just drop the mic, but we have
no,
to keep going.
We have to give these people some steps here.
Okay. So a couple of things to think about when designing your own schedule. You want to determine your hours. So think to yourself, when do we want to start seeing patients? When do I want to take lunch? Do I want a 30-minute lunch? Do we want a 1-hour lunch? Because you can do a 30-minute lunch and then adjust your hours and not stay late. When do you want to stop seeing patients? I think this is an important one for dentists to think about, because one of the biggest things that we hear from dentists who come to our To the Top Study Club, our pro coaching clients who come sit in the room, and they get so inspired and they leave with their workbook and they think, well, when am I going to do this work on my practice? Well, here's what's really cool. You could stop seeing patients. If you end your day at 5, stop seeing patients at 3 and use the afternoon for exams and working on your practice as a business owner and entrepreneur. Now, you're going to say to me, well, what do? I produce between 3 and 5. Okay, well, design your schedule to support the daily production goals that you need before 3 o'clock. And then you can have that administrative time in the afternoons if that's what you need to do. And maybe you don't want to do it every day. Maybe it's just on Monday mornings and on Thursday afternoons. You can literally do anything you want, but you can create that space for you to be able to manage your entrepreneurial self, because that's really hard to do when you're being the clinician all of the time. So the really wonderful thing about being intentional about blocking your schedule is you can hit those goals and still allot yourself the time that you need to be a leader, to be an entrepreneur, and not be the clinician in the moment.
Yeah. And this is, I'm so glad you said that, Miranda. And if you're a dentist listening to this, you're thinking about the complexity. Dentists think in terms of exceptions, meaning you're thinking of the 3 patients this is not going to work for, when you have 1,500 other people that will. And I'm going to encourage you to do this. Take this recording or this audio and give it to one of your team members and say, help me do this. And if you have an assistant that understands this and fits your value system, it's so easy for them to say, all right, let me take you up to the front. Our doctor, who's amazing, she does these procedures at 7 a.m. on Tuesdays. They can walk up to the front and guide the patient into that time. You don't want to give the patient options on time. You want to give them options on what they choose, but like when you do the procedure, that is not their choice. That is your choice.
And you can give them an alternative choice.
For sure.
Right? You can give them 2 options, but they're still both options that you want them to choose from.
I can't even help myself. I've been doing this for 31 years. Whoever teaches this in dentistry should be like banned. Do mornings or afternoons work? They should be banned from teaching that forever. It is true that psychology shows this, like patients feel power when they have 2 choices, but I'm going to give them 2 of my choices, which will mean I'll give you an 8 o'clock on Tuesday or a 9 o'clock on Wednesday. It does not mean I need to give you carte blanche to my schedule on a morning or afternoon. So again,
And we're not getting into some of the steps that are in this tool for later, which are things like, where are you putting your primary blocks? We're going to speak just a little bit to a tip around how much of your production should be earlier in the day. But if you are doing these high value procedures like crowns and bridges and implants in the morning, then you're exactly right. We do this type of dentistry in the morning. We could do, and just like you said, Tuesday at 8 a.m. or Thursday at 9 a.m., which do you prefer? And then you're still giving them a little bit of control over the schedule. So back to where we were designing that day. I loved the rabbit hole. So don't look at me like that. I see your face. It was great. Interject at all times. You bring amazing knowledge. We do also want to make sure we build in, though, holidays, vacations, meeting times a year in advance. Block everything out so that you can design these blocks around all of that time that you perhaps won't be in the office. And then the other piece of it is, what types of procedures do you like doing? We just mentioned, I like doing, you know, crowns first thing in the morning. So do you prefer consultations at the start of the day or the end of the day? Do you want high value, high focus at the start of the day, right before lunch? Do you want one right after lunch? What about large cases? Do you have a single day dedicated to that? What do you want to do about emergency blocks? Some people like to have those reserved in the schedule. Some people like to sort it out at huddle. Do you delegate any appointment time specifically to your assistants? Do you have a lot of, you know, whitening or things like that in the schedule that you could put next to a primary block that you don't even need to be in the room, but they're still able to bring that production and patient care into the practice? What are you comfortable double booking versus things we would never double book? Maybe we only have 1 scanner. And so one of our agreements is we're never going to put, you know, 2 occlusal guard scans right next to each other. We only have 1 scanner. That doesn't make pardon me, that doesn't make sense. So you can start to specify things even around like kids. Hey, I don't want any kids in the morning, but afternoon, sure, bring on the kids. Whatever you want to do, you can build that into your day.
Yeah, I love it. And a couple other things that you just said, Miranda, it's not just about holidays, it's life stuff. So if you have little kids at home, this is really important, or your team members have little kids, print out the schedule. Now, my kids go to a public school, and you know, private schools have this. Our schedule for the public school system is now visible for 3 years from now. I can download it today and know what the schedule looks like 3 years from now. So when it comes to things that matter, go, I'm out. That is powerful. You can pre-plan an amazing life if you just take the time to do it.
That is such a great point. I do the same thing. My kids' public school schedule's available in advance, and I plan out the whole year. If there's a couple of days where I know they're going to be off, it's like, you know, how cool would it be to just be off with them and be able to go to the park? Or it's strawberry season here. We could go pick some strawberries, make some strawberry shortcake. You don't get that time back. So it's really important to make sure that you're planning for it. And we're going to go into analyzing patient needs, but that just triggered another thought for me. I've never worked in a practice that didn't have block scheduling. I've been in dentistry, I mean, all the way back to working with my uncle when I was in high school in like the late 90s in his practice. There's just always been block scheduling in every practice that I've worked in. So to me, it seems like willy-nilly crazy town to just be putting whatever in the schedule wherever. But it happens. It happens more often than we think. And being a practice coach, it opened my eyes to, oh, so not everybody designs their day intentionally. And then what comes from that, again, is that chaos. So I can speak anecdotally to when it's done well, how much balance it can really create in your life. And so the other balance is this next piece, which is, yes, it's really important to make sure we're hitting goals. And absolutely, it's more important to plan for what we want and design our schedule around what we want as the team and the practice owner. But we also do have to make sure that we're building in enough of what the patients need into the schedule. And so we're analyzing patients' needs to make sure that we have the appropriate amount of blocks to be able to care for them in the way that we need to. So when we work with clients on this, we have a worksheet with some automated formulas that are built in to help them do this on their own. But you can take this principle, this concept, if you're not in our coaching community and do this on your own. But basically, you're looking at running some reports on some key procedures to make sure that you're building enough of those blocks into the schedule when you get to that step where you're actually applying blocks. So what we recommend is running a procedure code report. Now, it might not be called procedure code report based on your practice management software, but again, procedures by provider. There's a lot of different names for how you run this, but an ADA code report from your practice management software over a 3-month period, ideally the last 3 months, and you're going to get numbers for some of these key elements. So we have 0150 listed here for new patients and being able to make sure we know approximately how many new patient visits we need to support the practice. If you use the 0180 code, then you would use that one instead if you're running that report. Limited exams, this is going to give us an idea of how many, what I would call tertiary or those kind of like small supplementary visits we need built into the schedule. 4341 and 4342, this is helping to design our periodontal program within the hygiene schedule and having enough blocks built into that schedule and that service mix to support not only what we're doing, but thinking forward as well. If we are at 4% perio and we know our hygiene team is going to a Katrina Sanders course soon, and they're probably going to come back super motivated and diagnosing more perio, maybe we need to actually schedule a couple more perio blocks than we have been doing in the last 3 months. But it's starting to get the data behind some of the decision-making. We have 4910 here, perio maintenance. I also sometimes encourage teams to think about like an initial perio maintenance. A lot of times, practices will see a patient 6 weeks, 8 weeks after their active therapy. And if we don't have blocks for that, it might be 4 or 6 months before they get in for that first visit after their active therapy. So you can actually hold blocks, perio maintenance blocks that are just for that initial therapy after we do some scaling and route planning. So here's how that would look. In our worksheet, it looks a little bit like this. An example for you would be, perhaps you ran that report, you had 60 0150s in that 3 month period. You're gonna divide that by 3 months. That gives you about 20 per month. And then you divide that by about 4 weeks, which gives you about 5 per week. And so you know that you're gonna need 5 new patient blocks each week to be able to support the patient demand that you currently have. For example, if you're working 4 days a week and you need 5 blocks, you could block, you know, one spot on Monday, 2 on Tuesday, 1 on Thursday. Perhaps you're going to do big cases on Thursdays, and so you don't want any new patients because those are long exams. Fine. 2 on Monday, 2 on Tuesday, right? So you can work this in wherever you want to, but it's important to know that you have enough to serve the population that you're caring for. Anything else on that before I kind of jump through the rest and go into some tips and considerations?
No, you have to do that work because anecdotally, a lot of people schedule those things and it's very reactive. And so Miranda, I know you've never had an experience without color-coded blocks, but I'll tell you, and you've experienced this too, there are so many practices that don't do this. Mm-hmm. And it's a surprising percentage. People just throw it in there. And as a dentist, I totally get it. You're trying to be accommodating. You're trying to be nice. So you do have to do this intentionally. And then I'll just reiterate, you have to fire the dentist for making any decisions at all about the schedule. As a dentist, if you're listening to this, just play dumb. Go, I don't know how the schedule works. I'm going to hand you to Miranda and she schedules all of that. That's a good place to start.
And yeah, you get the right person in the right seat managing your schedule. Your life has been changed forever.
Yeah. And then secondly, I know we said this, but I can't say this enough. I can't override Miranda's authority. Once I give Miranda the authority to do that, if I'm the dentist, I've got to follow her lead. Meaning I don't go, yeah, don't listen to Miranda. Let's just squeeze you in tomorrow. Like,
go in your office and drag the appointment down.
Don't you dare do that because Miranda will not like you.
I used to threaten taking away the doctor's rights to being able to modify.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I'm bossy though, you know. And she had noticed.
And it's beautiful. Bossy is beautiful. You know how we say clear is kind? Bossy is beautiful.
I'm writing that down.
I love it.
No, I think the other piece to that though is before I jump into these, you kind of made me think of something else too, is I mentioned service mix earlier, but it's really important to think about honoring the blocks once they're created. And I would stand on a mountaintop and just honor the blocks, because as soon as you start breaking the blocks, we lose the service mix. And what I mean by service mix is, let's think hygiene, for example. If a hygienist is working for 8 hours a day and seeing 8 prophys, prophy, 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 maybe prophy bite wings, maybe a prophy bite wing fluoride, we are never going to excel in our production goals. And we've limited the access to that patient that needs to get in as soon as possible for this high value build conversation that we just had about their periodontal disease. And if we don't have space held for them in the schedule, what does that actually say? It's the contrary to the value that we just tried to build behind the procedure. So it's starting to marry all these things of, we need it there for the patients because they need the care. We also need it for our own predictability and sanity. But then that service mix, if you even just have one periodontal visit in your schedule each day as a hygienist and maybe like 1 or 2 perio maintenance and then the rest are prophys, that's a totally different production day than a day that's just prophy, prophy, prophy. And same thing with the doctor. If you have 3 high value production blocks, which let's say they're, you know, $2,000 or more is what goes in there. Oh, because that's a caveat. I wouldn't make it a crown block and then a bridge block and then an implant block. That's way too granular and you're limiting yourself. Just high value block, primary block, $2,000 or more. It could be 5 fillings. It could be 1 crown, but we're going to do it within this amount of time and it has to equal at least this amount of production. And if you have 3 of those blocks in your schedule and now someone scheduled a delivery in the middle of one of your primary blocks, there's no way for you to make up for the $2,000 that would have been there if we had used it appropriately. So it's just really important to make sure that we keep that service mix flowing so that our patients have the options they need and we're able to spread around where that production is being generated from.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Kim asked the question, is there a picture of the ideal schedule? I can't see the color code.
So yes, in that guide, there is the very last page, which I actually don't have built into this presentation. There's an example of like dovetailing with the color coding and what that looks like. Because as you can see here, as we get going through this, like you're going to perform a schedule analysis, you're going to take some days and see what's working well and what's not and build some of the insight you get from that into your ideal day. You're going to establish those procedure time blocks. How long do you need for a crown? How long do you need for different procedures that happen in the practice, maybe around hygiene? We do some time analysis. You're going to prioritize those high value procedures. And like you said, color code your blocks. Now, there's no tried and true primary blocks are always yellow and tertiary blocks are always blue. But we do have some suggestions within that resource as well. Of the main thing is about consistency. Did you do that?
I didn't do that.
That's so weird. It bumped me out of my slide. I thought you were going to show something.
No, I wasn't. That's not me.
The main thing is consistency, and a nice little cheat sheet is great. Once you decide on what your colors mean, having a little key that sits by everybody's computer until everyone gets really, really comfortable with what these different colors are to the eye. It's really just a cheat sheet for scheduling. Once you know that primary is always yellow, or maybe it's always green in your practice, all you have to do is look for those green blocks when you know you have something that's $2,000 or more that you need to put into the schedule. Again, then you're going to plan that ideal day, establish your agreements, and review and revise. Now, I think it was Kim that you said asked that question. We're going to get into a couple of like tips and considerations right now so that we can get to some more Q&A. But we definitely have an example of that built in to those latter steps within that tool. A couple of things to consider and think about when you're planning your schedule. We recommend that 65% of your daily production is done in the morning, ideally before lunch. Front loading those high value, high production procedures in the morning takes advantage of your peak energy levels, you and your team, reducing the risk of running behind, keeping the afternoon a little bit more flexible. It's going to guarantee your day. So again, you can run the dovetailing. And what I mean by dovetailing is the doctor is perhaps performing a crown prep procedure. And when the doctor is leaving that procedure for the assistant to make the temporary, the doctor is now moving into the next column, into the next appointment to anesthetize and start the next crown prep. And it's a nice little flow back and forth where you're taking advantage of the skills and abilities of your auxiliary team members and everyone's playing their role in this little dance. And then, of course, you've numbed that patient, doctor. You can hop up, go do a couple of hygiene exams, pop back in, do your crown prep, and we do it all over again. So again, the dovetailing is in that tool as well, so that you can see an example of how you can overlap those procedures, taking full advantage of the skills and abilities of your auxiliary team members.
Yeah. And can I just add one thing to Miranda? So it's really important to do what Miranda just said, just because the way the world works is it becomes less and less predictable and people's attention spans also drop. Studies by the National Safety Council show that you can Google this, between 4 and p.m. is peak time for accidents because of potential driver fatigue and stress. People just aren't thinking very much. If you think about it, 4 to 7 p.m. is the lowest level of predictability you will have during everyone's day. So mornings, it's amazing how much you can get done. Now, some of you are listening, you heard Miranda say 7 a.m. Those people that are listening to this that have 7 a.m.s, you can't even get into your practice for 6 weeks because people want those 7 a.m.s. Mm-hmm. So there's tons of advantages of front loading this with predictability.
Indeed. And the next tip that we have is around using 10-minute units. So scheduling in 10-minute increments allows you to have greater precision in appointment timing, minimizing inefficiencies. I have worked with some teams that are on 15-minute increments. And the reality is a lot of times like 30 minutes is exactly what you need, or maybe 20 minutes is exactly what you need. And if you're using 45 instead, because you only have the option to go every 15 minutes, it can leave little gaps and inefficiencies in the schedule. It's not like it's wrong or the worst thing in the world, but our recommendation would be to break it into 10-minute increments when you're building out that schedule. creating a unique template for each operatory. You can customize your operatory schedules. Usually your practice management software is going to be very flexible in how you can customize and set repeatable blocks from op to op, again, maximizing workflow. And you definitely want to make sure you make room for new patients. So we talked about looking at your history of your comprehensive exam codes. But if you have a big push to acquire new patients and you're in the middle of a new patient process priority with your team and you've been doing a lot of marketing, you might need to actually even boost. So in our example we did earlier, you needed 5. But if we just started a marketing campaign, we might say, you know what, we're going to hold 7 because our goal is to start building our patient base and we need to have more than we had in the past. The key though is not breaking the blocks. It's so exciting to get happy about someone saying yes to treatment. And then you see the 2-hour new patient block and this person has a crown and a filling and you're like, it's perfect for that 2-hour block. But here's what's going to happen. When the new patient calls and we want to get them in within 7 to 14 days max, we don't have that block for them anymore. It's gone because we're doing treatment there now, which felt really good in the moment, but now we're not able to serve the new patients in the way that we need to. And that's the window you're really looking to is within 2 weeks, ideally 7 days is great, but certainly within 2 weeks, a new patient who's eager and excited to come into your practice, we have to have that space for them. And what you'll know is when we start to do the scheduling agreements later in this exercise, one of the things you can consider is when do we open that block up? Because you might be saying, yeah, but what if it's a 2-hour block tomorrow for a new patient? And I have somebody who wants to come in for this treatment. So your agreement might be that if it's within 48 hours, business hours of this open block, yes, we can use it for anything that we want. But up until then, we want to hold this sacred. We want to hold those perio blocks sacred. We want to hold those production blocks sacred and those new patient blocks. We talked about color coding, and it's really helpful to be able to have that visual scheduling system. It's really quick to the eye to be able to identify appointment types as you're scrolling through the schedule. We talked a little bit about dovetailing, taking full advantage of the amazing auxiliary team members that we have in our practices. I always say that I bow down to assistants because I've tried to do it so many times and I always get kicked out of the room. I'm absolutely terrible at assisting. But I have worked with some of the most fantastic assistants in my own private practice experience and who I've been exposed to as a coach. Some of the most amazing individuals that I think a lot of times just don't get the credit they deserve. And they're capable of so much more than what a lot of us give them the autonomy to do. So yeah, let's use those auxiliary team members to their strengths and they can help to dovetail and really keep that schedule flowing. So we're going to jump into a couple of final takeaways and I want to have time for Q&A. So what I'll share with you, and then I'll give you the floor, Kirk, for what you might want to leave people with is it's just really important if you want some control over the harmony of your day, the consistency of your production day over day, week over week, month over month, be strategic about what you're doing with your time. You have 8 hours, maybe 7 hours in your clinical day. If you can tell that time what to do for you, it's going to be so much more advantageous than it just happening by stance. So also regularly evaluating and making adjustments to some of the strategy that you put into place. You might need to adjust your goals a little bit. You might need to adjust some of the blocks a little bit, but stopping, revising, revisiting on occasion. It's not like set it and forget it. Just like anything else, it needs a little bit of maintenance, a little bit of TLC from time to time. And you can start by just evaluating your daily production goals if you haven't done that yet. Take a look at, you know, what's left the remainder of the year, where you're at now, where you want to be. And if you're not consistently historically producing what you need to be and want to be producing every day to get to where you think you want to be on December 31st, start now by looking at, you know, a target for each day in the practice and say, we can get there. And next year, we're going to be better about this. We're going to start planning ahead a little bit sooner.
Yeah.
And of course, this tool is going to walk you right through it. So any takeaways from you, Kirk, before we answer any questions that anybody has?
So many, but like, I'll just wrap up by saying this. The greatest secret of the most successful people I've ever met is how they manage their time. We all get 24 hours and some people just say this day happens to me. Well, the best never say that. They're like, no, I make these days better. So my coaching to you is just follow Miranda's lead and constantly think about how you can use your time better. The problem is never the problem. It's how you think about the problem. And if you do this once and follow the lead and follow the handout and the guide, you'll see, wow, that really worked. And then next year, do it again. Then next year, do it again. And then you start thinking about how these blocks work together, like a big restorative block against and next to a perio block. Wow.
Yeah.
That's quiet.
I didn't even have to get up and do an exam in the middle of that crown prep. It was amazing.
What are you
talking
about?
My hygienist was just working over there autonomously the whole time.
It's amazing how you're in more control of your time than you think you are. It's time to exercise that control. So I just love this. I can't say enough about it.
Well, I put this QR code back up here. If anybody isn't in the BPA yet, if you're a BPA premium or team member, you can access the resource right there. Just log in. If you log in for the first time and you're a free member, you'll get access to this recording as well as so many more to talk about this and other things that can help you to improve your practice. You can also join us if you're a dentist and you've never been to Milwaukee. We're going to be having our To the Top Study Club session in our Learning Center in Milwaukee in July. We have two sessions. One's on the 18th and one's on the 25th. We would love for you to be there. The summer is always about healthy. So healthy culture. We're going to be talking about fostering a flourishing team environment this summer and how important it is to make sure that we're building a solid team and a solid culture in the practice. And if you've never been before, you could join us for free. We have a golden ticket. All you have to do is reach out to Gina@actdental.com or Courtney@actdental.com, and they can help you get set up with a golden ticket where you can come and just try us on. See if you like being in the room. See if you make a friend. I bet you will. But we'd love to have you there if you're willing to join us. So Kirk, I'm going to stop share. And do we have any questions from anybody that hasn't been answered yet?
No, I think we answered most of the questions. People were looking for the handout. So I did put the link in there so you can click on that. If you have any challenges, you can just email our team at info@actdental.com and we will be so glad to help you. But and you'll see that's just one of the hundreds and hundreds of resources that are back there. So join us back there. You can join for free. You can upgrade to premium, get access to all this stuff. You can share this all with your team. We're going to keep bringing
I will say, I see a note. It looks like Michelle was saying she's in the BPA, but she can't see the resource. It might be because you're a basic member right now. So you won't be able to probably access those resources without that premium membership. However, you can dig right into the event recordings and see what else is happening within the events that might be able to support this. And it's only $99 a month. So Yeah. It's, you know, super affordable to be able to access some of these amazing tools.
Yeah. I do have one question here that came in the chat. Did you see that? So we're adding on an associate doctor. He will be slower because he is newer. I don't know how quick his times will be. What is a good strategy for that?
I love it. So I would do a time analysis. Initially, you're probably going to want to build out the doctor's schedule with some generalities. Maybe take what your like owner, more experienced doctor is and just add a bit of cushion. They might even have an idea of about how much time things take, but to really use data. So you could do that initially, but during those first few months, do some time analysis. So in that resource that I mentioned, there's actually some time analysis worksheets. And if you don't have access to that, you can do it on a piece of paper. You're going to write down, you know, what time was the patient's appointment originally scheduled for? What time was the patient seated? When did the doctor come in for anesthetic? When did the doctor come back in for prep? I'm talking about a crown. How long did the prep take? Did the doctor have to get up and leave for an exam or two? How long were they out of the room? You're just going to basically just do some like touch points throughout that whole appointment, but you're going to want to get a few of them. So you would say, you know, over the course of like 2 or 3 weeks, you might have 5 or 6 crowns that you can reference a time analysis and get a general average of about how long it's taking that doctor right now. And if it's long, great. Let's set a developmental plan to reassess this periodically and say, are we getting faster? Are we using our auxiliary team members to our full advantage around temporaries and things of that nature to help make the appointments more efficient? But the key there is a time analysis and performing a time analysis on the key procedures that associate will be doing.
Yeah. And then Jasmine asked, We have a practice with three hygienists and one doctor. He is having trouble keeping up with exams and doing high value appointments. What should we start looking at?
So the biggest key is one of the things we talked about earlier, which is if you are doing periodontal therapy in your practice, it's great to have those primarily like in the morning. Say your doctor's schedule is blocked for most of the high value procedures prior to lunch, then perhaps you have at least one of those hygienists, if not two, that have perio during the morning as part of their service mix, because that's less. So say a perio appointment takes 2 hours. That's two exams that the doctor might not have to do during that morning time when otherwise they would. Now, if you're in a practice that doesn't have a high perio percent right now, you maybe don't have a perio protocol in place and you really are in that like profi mindset, it's going to be a little bit trickier for sure. But when you're building out the doctor's schedule, you can take that into consideration when you're creating that dovetailing. And perhaps you want to leave just a little blip of inefficiency, like that 10-minute unit, to allow and accommodate, especially if you're a relationship-based practice where the doctor doesn't want to rush through the exams. But the best way to do it is if you can build in the service mix and having the hygienist doing a perio maintenance that maybe is a 3-month recall and doesn't need an exam. You could put some no exam perio maintenance blocks in the morning. You could put some scalene root planing blocks in the morning. Anything that you can do that wouldn't require the dentist to be pulled. Anything else?
No, that's it.
I feel like we should do a webinar that's just Q&A because it's so much fun.
I know. It's so much fun. So Miranda,
we're just gonna sit here for an hour and you could just ask us questions.
My gosh, I could have added a half hour on a lot of these things. So Miranda, excellent, excellent job as always. And you'll see Miranda's our director of education. So she's going back there and adding more value to these resources. They're going to get better and better and more tutorials. You'll see. So keep joining us. Keep sending us.
Oh, actually, Kirk, this is going to be a course really soon in the BPA premium space. So we have some courses, learning modules that you can work through step by step by step. And this guide was developed so that we could also implement it as a course. So if you do join the BPA and you're a premium or team member, you're going to be able to access this sometime within the next month or two. I'm working on it. We're building out a course and you'll be able to work through it step by step by step with the guide right there beside you. And if you haven't done this yet, might be a great way to do it with your team and start to implement it and integrate it into your practice.
And Sean said this, we got to take charge of our schedules. Totally agree, Sean. And
yes, you do.
I'll just say this, if you're a dentist listening to, don't try to tell your team what to do and how to do this. I try to tell my team all the time and they're like, all right, bald guy, stop talking. Do you know what I mean? It's so great to say, hey, listen, let's go through this resource together and learn together and let's follow the lead.
Without weigh-in, there's no buy-in.
Totally.
So if your team's able to weigh in along the way, they're going to be way more bought into helping you support it. So
yeah,
it's awesome. Totally. Well, thanks, Kirk.
Thank you, Miranda. That was amazing. So thank you guys for joining us. So grateful. Join us for To The Top. Join us in BPA where the conversation continues and we'll keep bringing it. So hope you guys.
I have to do one last shout out.
Please.
Lori. Hi, Lori Spitz.
Lori.
I just saw her post. She said she loves us and we love you too. So I didn't want to not say hi.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys for being here so much.
Thank you guys. Enjoy the rest of your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.